Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You all know that at 9 o'clock on Thursdays, the illustrious Mario Heron, a.k.a. Hatin' Ass Mario, executive producer of BetMGM Tonight, which you can hear on this and find Odyssey stations nationwide every weekday from 7 until 11 p.m. with a special guest host for at least a few more Fridays, Rob Brown. Mario joined the show about a week ago. Mario, noted fan of the Indiana Pacers, said on this show that he did not think the Pacers had it in them to win this series. And I said, well, hold your horses. I think Oklahoma City, good team, little overvalued. I think the Pacers, undervalued, have been all playoffs long, and they just keep winning. Mario, I have to ask you a very genuine question. Was that your genuine, legitimate, honest vibe on this series, or were you doing that fan thing where you try the reverse psychology to trick yourself so that if you get it handed to you, you're like, oh, I knew it was coming. It doesn't bother me. And then if they do what I said they were going to do, make this a series and go compete in it, you can turn around and be like, hell yeah, go my team and feel better about it. Was this a weird reverse psychology thing, or did you really not believe that the team up 2-1 could be a team that's up 2-1?
I didn't think they'd be able to be up 2-1. I looked at what the Thunder were able to do against Anthony Edwards. I looked at the struggles that even Jokic had against the Oklahoma City Thunder, and I thought, if those guys can't figure out this defense, I don't know if Tyrese is going to be able to. I looked at the Pacers and go, you love playing fast. You love going deep into your bench. You love speeding up teams. You have active hands defensively. I go, that's everything Thunder does that is better. And I thought just all around, Thunder's the better team. I think the part that I stand, you know, I'm wrong. Pacers are very much in this series. I think this is a 7-game series. I don't think it's going 6 anymore. I think it's for sure 7 games. And I think, you know, to give you a little cross sport comparison here, the Indiana Pacers remind me of Mirab, where the pace and the physicality and the speed and the talent that they have in the first quarter that they hit you with is the same in the fourth. Mirab, the same takedowns you get, the same punches that he throws at you at that same speed, it's going to be the same in the first round and in the fifth round, and that's how he kind of wears you down. That's what the Pacers do. In order to beat this team, man, you can't give them any light of day. You have to just blow them out of the water. That's why even last night when we're watching the game live on BetMGM Tonight, I saw that they were still like plus. I live bet them at plus 160, and I live bet them again at plus 230 because I was like, if it is a close game, the Pacers will always pull it out. You can't go down to the wire against them. They're just too good. They find ways to win. It has to be a 15-point blowout if you want to beat this team. So, look, if it's tight, you take the series. If it's not tight, the other team wins.
I agree with that take. I got him at plus 180 before the game even started on the money line. Like, I just this did not feel. I described game three as Lonzo said it's a must win. If they let the Thunder come into their house, take game the first game in Indiana, and especially if it's a blowout, then the Thunder have kind of found themselves a little bit. And you got to wonder if the Pacers can take that punch in losing back to back, which they have not done in this postseason so far. My thought was, it's not a must win, but if they lose this game, especially if they get blown out, I very much do get concerned, because even though they've maybe got a little bit more experience than the Thunder, they don't have that experience yet, at least not this team this year. So for that team to come out, because I also agree about the close game concept, for that team to come out and put up 40 in the second quarter, and in the second quarter, I said this earlier in the show, they made the Thunder just look like a basketball team, right? Like the team that everybody, they were plus 750 on the series win coming into it. They made them just look like another NBA team. I was already convicted that the Pacers not would, but very much could win this series. Midway through that, I'm like, I might take another. Like, I've got two bets out right now on the Pacers. One is them for two, one for them to win in six, and I think I got that at almost 3-1. And then for them to win in seven, which on Monday night or Sunday night was like a 10-1 number. So I took them both. I feel a hell of a lot better about those two tickets after what we saw last night, because they put up 40. They made the Thunder look like an average basketball team. And even though the Thunder rode SGA to a good solid third quarter to get back into that game, the fact that there were 5 minutes to play and it was a two-point game, leads alternating back and forth, it's like, this is what the Pacers want. This is where they thrive, and they did it again.
I think the key thing in this game, too, that can't get overlooked is last game in, you know, game two, the Pacers had a net rating of minus 34 when Tyrese was not out there on the court, and they just got dominated in the non-Tyrese, non-SGA minutes. When your superstar's not out there, how does your team look? How do they play? Can your bench kind of hold up? Last night we saw at halftime, the Pacers bench had 30 points. Thunder's bench had 11. TJ McConnell and Benedict Mathurin and Obi Toppin, to throw him in there as well, were massive in this game. And they really, when Tyrese would go out, they went on 11-2 run. They separated themselves from the Thunder. And Thunder's bench just was not ready for that. And when you do that as well, you are forcing, you know, Thunder to, one, have to play SGA longer. You have to play Jalen Williams longer. And you saw them not be able to trust their guys later in the game, right? Like in the final 3 minutes, 2 minutes of the game, you saw the Thunder go to this ISO basketball with no off-ball movement. Earlier in the game, you would see, hey, I beat my man. I draw two. There's a backdoor cut. Boom, bucket. Boom, foul. Boom, open three. And then suddenly, you know, late 2 minutes, it's, hey, let's just watch and stare at SGA try to do something. Give him a ball screen. Don't roll that hard. Kind of pop from it. Don't pop from it. Roll to the basket. Wait, don't roll for the basket. It seemed like they were just second-guessing themselves, and it just became stagnant. Maybe that's due to fatigue. Maybe that's due to, hey, we're away in a very loud stadium. I know I've, you know, it's a bit here, but like Gainbridge, the crowd feels like it is on you. And that crowd was very, very loud. It maybe kind of just got to him in that moment. It could have. But you look at the other side of the floor, Rob. Pacers are moving. They're playing fast. They're making the extra pass. Tyrese in this game, people will point towards, oh, he was more aggressive. You know, his assist numbers were up. He almost had a triple-double. If he was Russell Westbrook, he would have gotten that triple-double. But I look at it towards his defense led to great offense. He was very much more active on the defensive side of the floor. He had two steals in the game. He had a block. He just had active hands in this game, and that led to easier offensive explosion for the Pacers throughout the game.
Completely agree. Lonzo and I both talked about the bench players earlier. I thought Mathurin was spectacular, especially a couple of big time threes that kind of slowed up Thunder runs. But the moment, there were really two moments that jumped out at me where I was like, okay, Pacers are the better team right now. The first was in that second quarter that they won by a dozen. There was a spot where Kayson Wallace went to the rack and he kind of got a, I think he got a bit of a ticky tack foul, and back the other way comes TJ, and the Pacers on that next possession just like straight up went into Apache helicopter attack mode, right? Like we're getting to the basket and we'll play through a chest. We don't want you to take that moment and think that you are going to play tougher basketball than us, which I respect because that was kind of one of the narratives coming in. The second moment was in the fourth when we were the two-point lead was going back and forth. The Thunder went on a baby run. I think they got the lead back by a deuce. Halliburton comes down the floor, hits a little fadeaway. It bounces up off the rim. There's three or four blue jerseys under the basket. And I'm saying to myself when the ball's in the air, I'm like, yo, if the Thunder get this and they score again, we have a problem for the Pacers here. And then Obi Toppin puts on the cape and wears the underoos on the outside. Skies nips to the rim and throws a two-hander down that lit the building on fire. And even though it was a great looking, like great video, but just a put-back dunk, when that went down, it was almost like you could see the Thunder like, dude, we did everything right on this play, and yet we got smoked by Obi Toppin there. Those two plays, isolated from the rest of the game, were two plays where I'm like, yo, the Pacers are not losing this basketball game tonight.
I think building on top of that, there's other moments of Tyrese is in the corner. He shoots a three. It's a contested three. There's three Thunder players in the paint. Tyrese Halliburton gets the offensive rebound. And it's just like, how does that happen? No one catches a body. You mentioned the Toppin thing. No, in that sequence, he goes through, I think it was like two or three Thunder defenders too to get that putback dunk. And like no one put a body on him. A play later after the Tyrese missed shot, it's the Thunder side of the court. They miss a shot. The ball is about to go out of bounds. And it's Nebhard versus Chet. It's a 50-50 ball. And who gets it? Adrian Nebhard gets it. Kind of manhandles Chet a little bit. Chet looks for the foul for the ref, and the ref looks at him and goes, buddy, this is the NBA Finals. You get that in October, you do not get that right now. That was one of those yeah? Ooh, I like
I'm
that.
Not saying I'm an influencer, Alonzo, but I've heard a lot of buddies coming out lately from some folks.
That's just, hey, that's how it starts. But I think it was a night where the Pacers just wanted it more. And it kind of, betting-wise, it kind of goes against everything because Pacers haven't won a game three all playoffs, and then they finally win one. But this was a massive statement for Indiana. I think this was a humbling game for the Thunder. And look, if I'm Oklahoma City too, Rob, if there's a game to lose, I feel like this is, I don't want to say like the best game to lose, but it's fine in terms of you have one day to think about it, and then you're back Friday. Like it's a quick turnaround. And that, to me, that's good for the Thunder. People will say, well, 2 days rest, you kind of forget, you know, what happened, if you will. But I think going right back into this, going, hey, screw this. Let's go back out there. Like, let's play this game. We play nine deep anyways. That's, I think, goes towards the Thunder in this.
I agree. I told Lonzo earlier, I think the Thunder take game four. But if you'd have told, if you'd have told Hayton S. Mario last Thursday that after four, the series was going to be tied at two apiece, I think you'd have been over the moon about it because yeah. I will take. Listen, this is the most clutch team in the playoffs, and if this is a team that has played so clutch in tight games throughout the playoffs, then I'm comfortable saying I'm willing to transpose that and say they would be the most clutch team in a tight series too. They got a little bit more experience in series like that than the Thunder do. I think that might be to the one of the things that I think is the detriment to the Thunder is, as I've said, I think personally, just looking at it on a team-by-team, game-by-game basis, I think the path to the NBA Finals was easier for the Oklahoma City Thunder than the Indiana Pacers. They weren't. Granted, the Pacers were blowing out teams too, but it felt like the Pacers were in spots where they were up against better teams and tougher situations than the Thunder are. So they've kind of had that gut-up kind of situation multiple times, and the Thunder haven't. I think if it goes to a game seven in OKC, even if it goes to a seven, I would take the high pressure coaching, the high pressure finishing of Tyrese Halliburton, and the fact that the Pacers have got a little bit more experience. I think they would have a slight edge in seven. So if I'd have told you a week ago this thing was going to be 2-2 after four, I'd have think you lost your mind. Here's the thing. I think the Thunder win game four. But if the Pacers get them on the brink of elimination, knowing they still got one more chance to come back to the crib, or got one chance to come back to the crib and close it up, if the Pacers win game three, they're winning the NBA title.
So if it the thing that worries me about like the seven games, and if, you know, Thunder feel like they have the back against the walls, and I do agree with you where Pacers are more comfortable being against the ropes, swinging for their life. They're comfortable in doing that. That's not like an issue for them. But I would have thought in the Nuggets Thunder series, if that would have gone seven, I would have thought, okay, that means it's probably going to favor Denver a little bit in terms of just their experience. Like maybe that's going to kick in. I know like they didn't go very deep, but I was like, I can convince myself that Jokic is the best player in the world. And if you give him six games against you and your defense, he's going to have it so figured out. Like it's going to be a problem. Doesn't matter how many guys they play. Well, Thunder go out in game seven. They absolutely just smoke the living crap out of them. I mean, they roll them up and smoke it like they're at the Grateful Dead concert. So I kind of see that happening with the Indiana Pacers where like if this goes seven, I go, okay, that probably leans Indiana because Indiana's, that means it's going to be a tight game. But Thunder have that experience of, hey, we've been in a game seven before and it's going to be in our stadium. We're just going to make sure that we smother the living crap out of you. The other thing you just have to do, though, is like, in that first quarter last night, when it was 15-6, Pacers called a timeout. And it felt like Thunder celebrated on the court, like, hey, big brother's here. You know, the big dog's here. You guys, this was adorable. It was so cute what you guys did. You know, we're so happy that you guys, you know, made this run. But now we're going to take it home. As our good friend Cody Decker would say, daddy's here. And I'm not going to say that because I think that's a little odd. But what are you going to do? And then it kind of felt like they didn't expect the Pacers to kind of come back in that, which was kind of fascinating. I'm like, this is what they do, is they get down, they come right back up very, very quickly, and they do it in seconds. But Thunder kind of have to have that attitude all four quarters. You can't get tightened up or buttoned up or just think they're just going to roll over. If they bring that attitude towards the rest of the games and kind of continue that through a full game, we saw it in game two, like that can happen and that's going to win. Also, I think the part that we're overlooking, Rob, and we it's been a pattern, but like, at home, bench always plays better. And last night, that was the... I love TJ McConnell. He gives me hope that maybe I can have a kid and he's 6'3 and he can be in the NBA if I push him to the pool. But the bench guys, they play better at home. They played exceptional.
I don't disagree. And I attributed the game to win for Oklahoma City Thunder to their bench, to Alex Caruso, yeah, to Hartenstein. I contributed that. Last night, they got smoked. And again, we've mentioned the guys. O'Connell, my favorite moment from that game was that Obi Toppin putback. But the bench for the Pacers last night got it done. I also agree that, and this was one of the reasons that I took Indiana on the money line to win that game last night, was aside from all the numbers, I saw like somebody did the deep dive of the stats and there was some dumb thing like in games, there were 13 times this year where the Pacers were 5.5 point underdogs or greater coming off of a loss. And they were like 13-0 money line in the next game. And then we talked about the fact that in every series so far in this postseason, the Pacers lost a game by 15 or more, and they won every game following that all the way through, even against Cleveland, who was supposed to be it or whatever. Every number said that was a Pacers get-back game, and that's why I went with them on the money line last night. But the question mark is going to be, can they have a stay-right game after that, right? Because the game one win... It's not that they lost game two. Again, the Thunder are in the NBA Finals. That's a good basketball team. It's not that they got lost game two. It's that they got their asses beat in game two. Can they figure out how to, instead of alternating games, can they go from a get-right game last night to a stay-right game tomorrow night, do it again, even slip out of there with a one-point victory? Because I will say, even if it does go to seven, I do think the Thunder are still going to be favored to make that happen. I'd feel a hell of a lot better if I knew we were coming. But win or lose at Oklahoma in game five, I'd feel a lot better if game six was another elimination or was the first elimination game for the Pacers.
I concur with that. I think that's the steady thing, is who can build. I mean, who can win the two games in a row, right? Like if Indiana obviously goes up 3-1, it's over. Like Indiana's going to win the series. If Thunder go, you know, back-to-back, win game four, win game five, it's probably over for the Pacers. Or I mean, you know, give or take. The thing that I'm telling you, Rob, to watch out for, because it's going to be, for the people that like to find the funny parts in basketball, the shots that Benedict Mathurin is going to shoot next game are going to be the funniest and worst things you'll ever see in your life. I mean, that guy is going to come in there with the confidence of Kobe Bryant in 2002 or one or whatever the hell they won the title, probably 2001. That's going to be, I mean, I can't, I was texting with some friends last night and a couple Pacer guys that I know that cover the team. And I go, I'm so excited for the Benedict Mathurin bad game. I'm just like ISO for no reason. You're like, yeah, we're going to ISO Lu Dort. Sounds good. Let's see how that works. But no, it's the race now. If you're Oklahoma City, it's game four is a must win. For the Pacers, it's a must win. Of if you win that game, you probably have the series.
Yeah,
I would have that team on their heels.
I would say it is not a must win for Indiana. I would say you're sleeping a lot better tomorrow night if you do. Mario Heron, executive producer for BetMGM tonight on the BetMGM Network, joins us on Thursdays to talk NBA ball. My guy, we'll do it again next week and maybe have a champ when we do. Good luck to the team you said couldn't win it that I said could, and that's up 2-1.
And sometimes, Rob, you're just smarter than me. I'm okay to admit that.
You know, more
and the NBA series.
Don't give him that.
If more people would, we'd all be in a better place, is all I'm saying.
We'd all be in a better place.
Hey, Nas, Mario, see you next week, big dog.
Maybe if they listen to you, Knicks would actually hire a coach that doesn't have a job already.
Maybe so.
Thank you.
Mario Heron, BetMGM Network. Fight Club! Up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way. At the exact same time, like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
Welcome into the Fight Club, where we talk all things squared circle, fights in Walmart. There's been some amazing...
We had a couple of good ones lately.
Yeah, yeah. Including there's this one at the LA riots where this guy throws something at a cop, and some dude comes out from nowhere and spears him.
I did see that one.
That was an amazing spear on the concrete, by the way.
Reinforced my belief that the only genuine WWE move, that's like exclusively a wrestling move, that could be pulled off in a bar fight is a good spear. I think a good spear could be pulled off in a bar fight. If you catch the guy asleep, I think you could pull off a good spear. Outside of that, I think there's a couple that, like, maybe you could set him up. Like,
here's the thing. You've got to commit. If you're going to spear on the concrete, it's going to hurt you too.
Yeah, for sure.
Unless you can land perfectly on the person you're spearing. And there's no way some of you doesn't get scuffed. All right, we start out the Fight Club with breaking news.
Really?
I'm not going to play the sounder, although it will work really well.
It would
right
work
here.
Even better in this than normal.
It would, but I'm just not going to reach over there. I'm too lazy. I'm almost on vacation.
I respect that.
All right. We talked about American Gladiator coming up again, rebooting it. It was just announced, Rick Boogs.
Boogs!
American Gladiator.
As a gladiator?
As a gladiator.
Hell yeah.
Come on.
I hope he's the same guy, though. I hope he's like...
Oh, me too.
I hope he's gladiator glam, just comes out playing the air. I love that dude. That to me, I mean this, that might be one of the biggest fumbles in recent memory. That dude should have been a star.
Agreed. And I saw that. I'm like, I'm watching now.
Yeah.
I mean, I am watching now, especially if he comes out and he is Boogs. I hope he comes out with the guitar, too. Why not?
I hope he is just Gladiator Boogs.
Why not? That's going to be great.
Love that, dude.
All right. Last weekend, we had WWE Money in the Bank and a lot of repercussions from that, including, unfortunately, Seth Rollins wins the Money in the Bank. But to me, the standout of that entire match, El Grande Americano.
I mean, why would you think he was going to be anything else? The man is
thought
a,
he was going. I thought he's going to win it.
A luchador legend with decades of experience under his mask. Why wouldn't he be?
He was
a
so close
star?
To win it. He may or may not have put a plate in the mask. I don't know. Sometimes you look away and you don't see things. That's just. I mean, just like a referee. Sometimes you get distracted. You look away. You don't see things. So I may or may not have seen that. Plus, even if he did, it doesn't matter. It's a ladder match.
Okay. Can
it's
I?
It's legal.
Can I ask a. An out of kayfabe question.
Oh,
okay. Genuine out of kayfabe question. Do you think it's wildly frustrating or highly celebratory for Chad Gable to be like, I finally get to show you how damn good at this I am, but right. I had to goof this to do it?
By the way, he wrestled twice that day.
Yeah, because he also wrestled in Worlds Collide or whatever.
Yeah, he wrestled Vikingo, which was an amazing match with a lot of those kind of bumps and stuff in it. And then he allegedly went and wrestled again later as El Grande Americano.
Yeah, I mean, they're definitely different people.
So he is getting, if you believe, like, you know, Michael Cole and some of those guys, he's definitely getting a lot of work, lot more work than he has in a while. And he's in shape, and he's always been a great worker. So good for him. But Seth Rollins does as he predicted. He now holds the power in the WWE. Comparisons to when he used to have disciples for some reason.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, that comparison made by Karrion Kross.
That's fair.
Who says he may be countering it. And then he shows a picture of the guy who showed up, the guy who was fired, or it was a work, or you know, it's all according to script. R-Truth shows up at the end, and I just, again, the guy rushes in, part of his shirt goes up, and I'm like, that's brown skin, that's R-Truth. And then he took the mask off. I mean, I'm yelling this out loud, and that was it. I've chair popped a couple times lately, and that's one of those. I was so excited to see him back. Then Monday night, he stands on the announce desk and cuts all his hair off.
Yeah, because he's not R-Truth anymore. He is now Ron.
Well,
the
he
Truth
has mentioned
Killings.
That he is still Truth.
He is the Truth.
Yes, but he is Ron Killings.
R-Truth said a while back, and we didn't ask him on this show, and honestly, I kind of regret that because, holy crap, well, we'd have been ahead of the game. But he said on a different podcast not too long ago that he wanted one more heel run because the fans love him as a heel as much as a face, so he wanted more heel run. But I think he's found this really good spot because I think he can kind of serve as something that we don't really have right now, which is kind of the anti-hero, right? Like, I mean, I guess Karrion Kross is a little bit in that role too, but I think he could be, and that's why it's a good pairing. I think he could kind of serve as the anti-hero, as the guy who maybe he's not going to be the one to say take the belt off of John Cena, but maybe he's the guy that kind of pushes that story into a direction that it probably needs a little bit of a jump start right now. I think he can serve as a wonderful role. And I know we all know R-Truth is comedy, kind of the funny, ha-ha guy. When he has been in years gone by, Ron Killings, K-Quick, when he has been kind of a more true-to-form professional wrestler, the dude is good. And I will say this, when he pulled the hood off and he looked at John Cena, that dude sold me that he is broken about his childhood hero, John Cena, turning heel on us. I mean this when I say R-Truth may genuinely be the best performer on the roster. Like, not wrestler, but performer.
We've seen how he can wrestle in spurts. If the focus now will be turned a little bit more to his wrestling, can he hold up? He did have a major injury a couple years ago that took him out. It was a leg injury, if I recall.
Yep.
Hopefully that doesn't come into play. I'm glad he's back. Can the crowd, can the fans of WWE handle him not being the guy that they wanted back? Because they got him back, but he's not the guy that they wanted back.
Yeah, I think, I'd like to think so. And again, I do think that is part of the reason why you got to kind of play the anti-hero role, not just a straight heel. And on top of that, if you have him play a straight heel, you can't really keep him involved in the John Cena storyline, which is where he needs to be right now. I think you can have him be the anti-hero to kind of be a reflection of the longtime Cena fans who are going through it with him being a heel right now. I think he can play that role. And again, I trust in that spot. I trust R-Truth to understand how to work a crowd, because whether it's been his K-Quick or Ron Killings or R-Truth or Ron the Truth Killings or whatever, the man can friggin' act. Like, the comedy thing, we all chalk it up as comedy, but that's acting. And to be a good comedy actor in a role like that that can break Triple H in the ring, you got to be damn good at it. I think he can do the opposite, too. I think this is going to be a good run. I genuinely hope that Ron Killings, buddy of the show, whether it is from John Cena, because I honestly don't care if he is the one to dethrone Cena. I don't know which one it would be. I just hope we get even if it's short, some level championship run for R-Truth as his thanks for everything, because they're obviously not going to keep him around forever. But I think he's got an opportunity to make a run as a champ here, and I think he should get it.
All right, I know there are a lot of people, including you, who don't care for Logan Paul, but Logan Paul has taken the place of Kevin Owens, of Shane McMahon, as that guy that's going to do something, have a wow moment whenever he's in there, and him holding the drone and then Cody coming into frame and doing the Cody cutter while he's holding the drone entire time, I thought that was really cool.
That was super dope. It was a good look. I mean, again, I know I can't stand the dude, but I'm going to absolutely give him credit. That was a very cool, very unique thing that he pulled off.
He also moonsaulted it off the rings onto the announce desk. I mean, he's doing some stuff, whether you like him or not. Very athletic, and he's a good wrestler.
The issue has never been about his ability to go, because he is a good wrestler and he can tell a good story. The issue is just he's a bad person, and I can't find it in me to celebrate the guy. That's a personal, subjective thing. The dude is absolutely a talented wrestler, storyteller, and he is seeing and getting things out of the match, out of telling stories in the ring that other people just haven't done. And at the end of the day, being innovative is just as important as being entertaining.
All right, shout out to Rob Brown for making the call on the women's Money in the Bank. You said look out for Naomi, and she won it.
Yeah, I
was just glad anybody but Rhea. So the Naomi thing, you got a lot of story to push with that.
Yeah, which is the reason I picked her, right? Yeah. Like, that's the reason I picked her, is you've got her involved with Bianca. You've got her involved with Rhea. You've got her involved with Jade Cargill. You've got her in so many different places. And on top of that, let's keep it a buck. Since she came back, Naomi's been cutting some of the best promos in the game right now, which is not what she was when she went away the last time. So I think she's earned it. I think she's got it there. You never needed to put it on Rhea Ripley. She's the most over person on the roster. She does not need to have that asset in the back pocket. You can pretty much inject her anywhere and she's fine. You know, Alexa Bliss, I don't know where we're going to go with that. Like some of the other women on the roster, Naomi has A, been doing some of the best work in the game as of late, and B, has done such a good job that she has kept like three different storylines she's touched with fresh, which means you've opened up a number of other different women to be in the picture as well.
All right, we have two new belts for the women, which means there's, if you were a Grand Slam champion, you're not anymore. So you've got to win those belts. I believe that's one of the reasons why Becky won that belt. Also, to progress a feud with a returning friend of the show, Bayley.
Buddy?
Yeah. But how much of a how many of the women who were Grand Slam champions are going to come back or get a shot at both new titles, do you think?
No clue. I don't know how they handle that. It's obviously unprecedented territory. I think that the Becky Lynch thing, and I'm a fan. I've made no secret of that. The reality here is, even though Lyra Valkyria showed a lot more personality in the run-up to the match than she had at any point on NXT or the main roster up till that. And after the match was over, I also think, I think she needs a lot more work. And to me, to have her carrying that strap while very evidently needing a lot more work instead of just putting it on Becky, which even if it's not about the popularity of Becky Lynch as a face or a heel, she is just a good jumping off point for most any of the other established veterans back there, and that includes a returning buddy of the show, Bayley. Plus, with Bex being heel and Bayley going after her, what does that open up the opportunity for with Wacky Wavy Flavor and a Crazy Inflatable Arm 2 Man? Can we get the Bayley buddies back?
Well, there's also Women's Evolution 2 coming up soon in Atlanta, by the way. And so they're starting to set up a lot of matches for that, including returning Nikki Bella Monday night. And now there are rumors that Bree's going to come out of retirement also to be in that. Well, I'm equally as excited as you are with that. Cena versus CM Punk, Night of Champions. What do you think?
That CM Punk is going to have a hard time on Twitter the next couple of weeks. I mean, Cena's winning that thing. I don't know who is ultimately going to dethrone John Cena, but I do not think it is CM Punk in this spot.
It's going to be Cody.
It is probably going to be Cody. I'd love for it to be our truth buddy of the show. Talk about the ultimate Rob Brown Show bump if he did it. But I do think it is Cody. I do think it is probably, it's either SummerSlam or they carry this thing all the way to WrestleMania next year. Although Cena's not on contract for that. We don't know, whatever. I do not think, this is one of the very few things I don't think they're willing to do. I don't think, even for the $1 billion in blood money, Saudi money, I don't think that they are going to have John Cena's final match, because I assume when he drops the belt, he's done, and that belt changing hands, especially if it's to somebody like a Punk in Saudi Arabia. I think they're going to put that in a Chicago or a New York at Madison Square. They're going to put that in front of one of the guaranteed hot American audiences. So I am going to go John Cena wins. It'll be dirty. It'll be gross. I wouldn't be shocked to see Logan Paul or somebody else get involved to set up the next Punk rivalry. I wouldn't be shocked to see maybe Seth get involved somehow and just go, I'm not coming for your belt, Cena. I just don't want Punk to have it. Like, there's a million things that could happen.
Seth has said they're going after both belts. So we'll see what happens there. Just time for one more thing. I was going to go with some Mr. Iguana talk, but we're going to get plenty of time for that because he is a star. What do you think about Trick Williams holding the TNA championship? Does that diminish it? Does that help it? The fact that he beat Joe Hendry he cheated, but he beat Joe Hendry, that bothers me. But what do you think about him having that belt?
First, I think it tells me that WWE was sold on bringing Joe Hendry over. Right. Like, I think that's the reason you're willing to do that. Number two, it puts eyes on TNA because I understand TNA has been big. I understand TNA has eyeballs on it. But like, it's obviously not even as big as NXT. So you put an NXT champ over there to be the TNA champ. You move a bunch of WWE eyeballs over there, which is important for TNA as they're in a partnership.
It's got me over there.
Right.
It's
put a lot of eyeballs that otherwise wouldn't be on that product. And it's going to allow you to take a lot of very good young talent on that show and give them the biggest audiences of their career to see who works and who doesn't, to ultimately get moved over to NXT into the big roster. I think it's great. I think people are looking at it as like, oh, two big companies going. They're the same company now, guys. Like, they're the same company. Like, you can have some of this bleed over. You can kayfabe it as two different companies fighting over their belts, but it's the same company. Good for the goose, good for the gander. That's basically it for me. All right. When we come back, final segment of the show. Got a few more things to get to. You want to get in? 844-326-3663 is the Hub City Spartanburger text line. We'll get some text in when we come back. You can also get at us on Twitter at the Rob Brown Show at Lonzo on Word, or call that number and jump on the air. We'll get a couple more quick stories and we will wrap it up next on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. And let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
So, final thoughts for today on the House v. NCAA settlement. Last thought I have for today. Tomorrow, we do have two, I think, very interesting interviews. Both will be joining us on the stream early in the show tomorrow. And again, I do not have times locked down. I have commitments for appearance, but both of our guests tomorrow are working on confirming a time within the show. Early in the show, we are going to be joined by Norman O'Reilly. He is the Dean of Business at the University of New England. He has been very involved, active in keeping up to date with everything that has been going on in the NCAA process leading up to the House v. NCAA settlement. Has some interesting takes on it. I've read a couple of his blogs that he has written up, listened to a couple of other interviews he's done. I think he's got a fascinating point of view on potential impact of this long term. We will talk to Norman O'Reilly of the University of New England early in the show tomorrow. Later on in the show, we will talk with Matt Hand. Matt is the president and CEO of Alta Sports. It is an agency that was propped up shortly after the creation of NIL that represents student athletes as well as the brands that they will sign NIL deals with. Actually, speaking of Logan Paul, Prime is one of the clients of Alta Sports. So he's got some figures in with some big businesses. Matt Hand will join us towards the end of the show to talk about the House v. NCAA impact on student athletes and teams. From that perspective, Norman O'Reilly of the University of New England early in the show tomorrow. Follow my social media because as I get the times confirmed, which will be around lunchtime today, I will post them on our social media feeds so you can know when to tune in. I think both of those interviews are going to be very, very interesting tomorrow morning. But there is one more thought that I had about all of this, and it is about the revenue sharing. It is going to be about the financials that come out over the next year, two, three, as that $20.5 billion is up front. And then obviously that number is going to grow 4% initially, and then it will be a re-evaluated every 3 years in the face of increasing television deals, increasing advertising payments, et cetera, to the schools to determine if that number needs to go up even more than that or not. So there is one very interesting aspect of this that I am curious as to how this is going to play out. We know that the College Sports Commission is going to be taking over as the disciplinary arm in regards to NIL, in regards to revenue sharing. They will be the arm that puts forward the rules, approves the rules, enforces the rules, and hands out discipline for violation of the rules. My question mark is going to be moving forward, especially once we find out like how the revenue share is going to be going. Again, the assumption is, I don't think it's even assumption, I think it's probably a guarantee that most of that revenue share money is going to go to the sports that generate revenue. That is obviously men's football, men's basketball, maybe for some of these schools, women's basketball might be thrown in there based on the continued growth of the women's March Madness tournament over the past couple of years. But the interesting thought that I have moving forward is, what is, and I will ask both of our guests tomorrow, what is the future of Olympic sports moving forward? Because I do believe we are getting to a point where, and again, I've said a couple of times this week, I'm actually optimistic because we do have a blank slate that we can work with. But obviously anything can be written on a blank slate. So we will find out with this appeal that just got filed, if and how a court, an appellate court, decides that, you know what, this actually turns out does have Title IX implications. Is there something that comes down the pipe and says, yes, you must use some of that rev share money for even for non-generated sports, even for women's sports at college, et cetera, et cetera? I don't know how this is going to play out because the NCAA spent so long with no measured strategy about how to be prepared for any of this, which maybe is a good thing in a weird, optimistic, silver lining way, because it leads to a spot where it can be a clean slate, right? If there was a strategy, even if that strategy had to be evolved, I don't know if we'd have that clean slate that makes me a little bit optimistic about this. But I think we've worked under a flawed model for a long time. I think we have the opportunity to build a model that works. The question mark is going to be, can a model be built that works for everybody without congressional interference? And down the line, will we find out that even though we are optimistic about the model, or I'm optimistic about the model, that there are still legal loopholes and federal oversights and regulations and whatnot that have to be addressed that make it to where we have to have congressional oversight? And where in the end of all of this, where are we going to end out? Or where are we going to end up with, say, hypothetically, the concept of Olympic sports? What is going to happen with women's sports if this Title IX thing is decided that, no, that you're not entitled to the revenue share, you don't bring in revenue, therefore you can't be entitled to the revenue share, whatever. Do we end up in a spot where women's sports become jeopardized? If women's sports become jeopardized and they're not part of the rev share, but Title IX implications are still in place for the school down the line, could we see schools start cutting Olympic sports because you will still have to provide equitable opportunity for women if they keep football and basketball because they're sharing the revenue, but they got to get rid of Olympic sports in order to keep. Does that have an impact on our performance in the Olympics every year? Do we care about that? There are so many questions that have to be asked. Again, join us tomorrow morning. Norm O'Reilly of the University of New England will join us in the early portion of the show. Matt Hand from Alta Sports Agency later in the show. We'll get some opinions from both sides of that debate. Are you interested in those two interviews? Like, yeah. Does that appeal as like a, this could be interesting?
Wow, what if I said no?
No, I would not be upset with that, because I know a lot of people aren't. Like, a lot of people are like, whatever, shut up, play football.
All right, I'm interested in the concept. We'll see how good the people being interviewed
Fair
are.
Fair enough.
And it's since you've had conversations with them, I'm guessing you think it's going to be pretty good or you wouldn't invite them on the show. So, yeah, I want to hear the takes of these guys for sure.
Okay. I'm just curious. I'm curious if y'all appeal about this.
I've never heard I've never talked to an NIL guy before, so yeah. it's gonna be interesting.
James said, "If complaining about NIL was a sport, this would be the flagship station, not this show."
Yeah, that's you need to Anyway,
not this show.
All right, let's see what is Xing. The first thing that is Xing is Brian Wilson.
82 years old. You can call him whatever you want. The captain of the Beach Boys passing away yesterday at 82 years old. Brian Wilson. My mom was a big. Well, I think everybody my mom's age, every lady my mom's age, was a big Beach Boys fan. Brian Wilson was, via my mother, one of the most influential musicians of a young Rob's life. To this day, I care not what you say. Good Vibrations, still one of the greatest songs of all time. The dude was an absolute legend, an absolute icon. R.I.P. Brian Wilson. I am going to go home, Lonzo, and spend my day listening to maybe my favorite album of all time. That is nobody else's. Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
Yeah, the thing is, the use of a theremin, that's the first time I ever heard of a theremin before. Cameron went to a concert at the Radio Room last week, I think it was, and there was a band that was actually had a theremin.
Nice.
And played it. Yeah.
Yeah, Brian Wilson got into some experimental stuff, and a lot of it became very innovative across the music industry. This is it's not weird. This is one of those musician deaths that, like, this one kind of hits me a little bit.
Yeah, I get it. All right, the next thing that's Xing is the Cincinnati Bengals.
The Bengals Xing, I'm assuming it has to do with their offseason activity. Shamar Sanders, their draft pick out of Texas A&M, still has not signed a contract because the Bengals put an unprecedented clause into the contract that basically says if any portion of his contract is voided for any reason, he loses all of the money guaranteed over the life of the contract, which is not how these contracts are written. Ordinarily, if it's voided, you lose that year's guarantees, but all the rest of the money stays with you. And he has basically outright been like, I'm not going to be the first rookie who agrees to this term. So his agent and the Bengals are having it out, and it's gotten very public to the point yesterday that he said to a media member, I'm not backing down because I'm 100% right. And then he pointed out that, look at what they're doing to Trey Hendrickson. He said, now Hendrickson's in the wrong a little bit because he is under a contract he agreed to, but also the man's been outperforming his contract. Pay my dude. But I'm 100% right because I am not under contract. I have not gotten a contract. Why are they doing this at all? And why are they doing this to me? And I got to tell you, listening to his clip a couple of days ago, I was like, Ed, but man, like maybe you need to work this out. After listening to the way he broke it down yesterday, I'm like, you know what? He's kind of got a point.
He has also left minicamp. He was there, even though he wasn't performing, but he is gone.
Yeah, home. Why not? If you're not going to sign me, I'm going to go home and hang out with my mama. Why?
All right, the next thing is Xing.
The Bengals are really dumb right now, right?
Yeah, let's stay in Ohio. The next thing is Xing is Shedeur Sanders.
Shedeur Sanders is Xing, and I assume this is why yesterday, obviously, as the Browns, like the Panthers, are going through minicamp right now, Shedeur Sanders is not getting a ton of reps at QB1. Which we understood, right? Like, there's four guys competing for effectively two roster spots, maybe a third, probably a practice role. And a lot of people thought that, you know, maybe this is just a test for Shedeur Sanders to prove that he's eating a slice of the humble pie. He's not getting a lot of reps at QB1, and a lot of people are raising an eyebrow at that. I'm not. It's a quarterback competition.
Okay, the reason why he's X, and it goes along with that a little bit, but it's because there's video out there of him staying after practice and working.
From what I understand, he looks real good in practice, A, but again, no pads, right, or just shoulder pads, and B, from what I understand, the dude's grinding, like first in, last out kind of guy right now. So maybe that whole draft experience did kick him in the ass, and I hope it did, because I do think he's got talent to potentially be very good, but I've heard he's busting, and I think if he does and he wins that spot, I think we all got to say, nice job. Nice bounce back. So we'll see. All right, that's it for us. Come back tomorrow on Friday again. We'll have two excellent guests talking about the House v. NCAA settlement. We'll have Rashad Beard giving us his thoughts on spring on the minicamp and more. For Lonzo, I'm Rob. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Don't drink a job. I'll punch you in the face. See you tomorrow on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate. Later.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.